involving these complex projects with a combination of a number of factors, which, quite frankly, are lower consequence but integrated higher probability of failure. So it's not the big bang theory, like, gee, what's going to happen if this doesn't happen? If Congress cuts the funding off, what do we do? You know, the battleship, it's more of those complex things. If you just look back, for example, at the MOX project, we're all really too familiar with, it wasn't this big technical failure, but it was a series of events that just kind of cascaded forward. You know, a competing labor market for the Vogtle nuclear project across the river that siphoned, you know, experienced construction talent across the river. Okay? And we had a 40% turnover in labor. You know, those kind of, you know, hurry up, those kind of things. So it's more of an integrated risk assessment of the project in terms of fault trees and consequences and even probabilities that, you know, complex projects you're really undertake.
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim. And if you look historically at the projects, I don't know, some of us have converted the word MOX into a verb, you know, where you get moxed. you know, you'll be hard-pressed to find successful projects of greater than, you know, $700-900 million where you achieve CD4 in a timely fashion.
Last one I can, SNS in Oak Ridge, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole long list of projects that that fail to achieve that. So I'm wondering, what is the difference in the way you're doing things, not only for Los Alamos, but also for Savannah River? What is it that you're doing differently that they didn't do before that would give you higher confidence in both your schedule and your budget?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a handful of things. Some of them are kind of at the detail level, and they reflect the desire to avoid the little things that you mentioned that kind of add up. As an example, you know, at Los Alamos, the glove boxes that go around a lot of the pieces of pit production equipment are custom built, and we have to modify that equipment for operations in the glove box environment. This sound crazy, but you know, we had to learn a hard lesson that you have to spend a lot of time. You need to take that equipment to a cold facility first, prefab, kind of plot with glove boxes around it, practice maintenance,
right,
evolution, practice operations, make sure you get the windows in the right places before you build the steel glove box, and you don't want to try to do those things in a hot facility. And I know that, you know, that seems intuitive, right, when you say it out loud, but you need to do an installation or maintenance or material movements, things like that, after hours, outside of production, and that's a risk mitigator not only for pit production but all the other missions in PF4 as well. So they are looking at that.
Okay. That would also include personnel rotations in and out, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that
board and shadowing, those kind of shifts, right?
Yep.
Do you have to do, and this is sort of outside of pit production, but I was curious to know if you have to do a programmatic EIS for the overall program. Do you have to do one at Savannah River, or is one required? I guess you wouldn't have to have one at Los Alamos since that's already underway, but what would be the step of that, of an EIS?
Yeah, this is one of the things we at early over the past years, what NEPA strategy do we need to have? What we're pursuing is basically at the high level, you know, complex transformation, we have a record of decision, but it says Los Alamos will be the plutonium center of excellence, so we need to do an amended ROD to be able to do pit production at Savannah River. It's kind of the first part of it. The second part is we have analyzed pit production at Los Alamos for up to 80 pits per year, but their current record of decision limits them to 20.
Oh.
So So we will have to do a supplement analysis and get another record of decision to go to 30, which we're working on now. And then for Savannah River, we will have to do an EIS, which they've all started doing as well. So that was one of the things that, you know, can trip you up early. We're trying to get a head start on that. I think our NEPA folks have really been focused on getting those documents pulled together, getting in the appropriate review period and comment periods, and so we're making good progress.
So from the risk perspective, the logistics, the equipment, all those things, that's not abnormal for major projects to have to struggle with those issues. It seems to me that the biggest risk lies in your funding. And whether or not Congress bellies up at the rate that they need in order to meet the schedule requirements that the DOD has.
I think that's fair. Yep.
And we, you know, however we can be helpful. I know we talked about a couple of, you know, potential options after our last meeting in Columbia, you know, speaking to you, Rick and Mark, but, you know, however we can be helpful to y'all in messaging that to your delegation, you know, we are always a phone call away, happy to help you put together the points that y'all feel like you need to best articulate that. Yeah, but hopefully, you know, these kind of conversations are certainly enlightening to that process.
Well, we're familiar with the impact of change.